Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I love it. I like where we are. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Maybe don't love where the Astros are. Offensively with the bats, it's been a little so-so from time to time. And not even from time to time, the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much the whole time.
They've managed to get some wins through here, though, mm-hmm. which has been at least some level of solace. It hasn't been as fun, as we discussed yesterday, to watch it happen. But, hey, stay attached and hope that the bats can come along earlier, sooner rather than later. But I kind of want to narrow down a little bit quicker, a little bit more, because the talk of spring training on these airways, and I think even well beyond that, was what, Lopez?
You got to bring him up.
Him being?
Yeah.
Cam Smith, like acquisition that you had, your number one prospect after you traded away Kyle Tucker. And it was kind of, at first you were like, all right, Isak Paredes, and then this, you got this guy, or you got Hayden Wesneski, you got this guy in here, like maybe he'll do something. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you got to meet him, as soon as you got to see him, especially when he got out here, it was very abundantly clear, oh, this guy, there's a reason why he's now your number one prospect. He looks pretty good. And then you're right. It came to a conversation where we were going, when do you bring him up? And we acknowledged early on that we were in that place where we're like, all right, we're doing a little too much right now, but we want to see him up yeah. with the big league club. And as spring training continued, he just kept, you know, good approaches, hitting the ball well, seemingly handling right field, or not even right field, because that was early. It was before that. He was playing in the infield and third base and such. And then when you moved him right field, it seemed like he was okay. And you're like, all right, I think you need to bring him up. And ultimately, Dana Brown and the organization agreed, and he starts with the big league club. And since then, it has not been what you could have expected or hoped, and maybe is the better way of putting it, as, I mean, he is batting a robust 143. And, of course, that's a joke. It's not robust. And his OPS of 488, and that has helped greatly by the fact that he had, what was it, 1-for-4 yesterday with that RBI triple, his first triple, his first RBI, and it was, I mean, it was great. I mean, it was one of those, it was pulled down the line, and it was one of those things that you imagine that when you pull it down the line, maybe that's a double, but he's got so much speed where he turns it into triple. I was so happy to see that, and yet and still, I was like, did they make a mistake? Now, full disclosure, I was thinking this before yesterday's game. And yesterday's game, I do wonder if it changes your mind at all. But, Lopez, do you feel at all that they made a mistake in bringing up Cam Smith, a man who had only had 20 at-bats in the minors prior and you no experience in right field as you were changing him there just to get him up? Like, did they make a mistake? Did I make a mistake in clamoring for this to happen at the start of the year?
I think, frankly, not only did they not make a mistake, I think it's kind of silly. You know,
silly.
Obviously, not silly to have the discussion. You know, because obviously it's going to be a discussion. You know, with his batting average and the struggles and as you mentioned, sometimes even looking a little lost at the plate. My point is this, and I'm adamant about this. You made this decision based on what you saw in spring training, the prospect that he is, and the you know the approach. You know, his attitude, his general makeup, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing that was a factor here is you knew this was going to happen. You know, we said it. We said it on the show. He's going to have some bad stretches. He's going to have some lulls. I kept bringing up the example of Alex Bregman, and I can't remember the numbers exactly off the top of my head right now, but I want to say it was like 3 for 35 in that range to start his career as a big time prospect with the Astros. Also a college player, had a few more minor league games, but not a whole lot more. I mean, maybe like 80, 60, something like that. So you make this decision knowing this is going to happen. I mean, this should not be a surprise. You base the decision, though, on all the other factors of how he can play, what you can see, and, you know, certainly his makeup, et cetera, et cetera. It was not a mistake until we get to June, and if it lingers, to me, it's a no-brainer. In fact, you should probably put him out there even more, although I get not playing him every day because you want him to sort of regroup, you know, get into the cages, go under the stadium, hit off the machine, talk to some veterans, you know, talk to the hitting coach, which might be a mistake. But anyway.
Okay. You're going to get on the conspiracy at this point? Is that what you want to do?
Was that out loud?
Do you really want to do that?
Work on everything. Understand you're a kid. We expected it. Keep going.
Okay, the only thing about that, and you hit on one of the places where I want to go, so let's just go there. He has been in games 7 of the 11, and mm-hmm. one of the big kind of quotes that we got from Dana and the, you know, brain trust of the Astros before this decision was ultimately made mm-hmm. to, you know, start him up with the big league club was, this decision is going to be made based on the idea that we want him to be able to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they already, within 10 games, 11 games, they already have not lived up to that in a way that's pretty substantial, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he's playing half of the games, but not playing 4 out of 11,
yeah,
that's significant, especially for a guy who you do want to get into the rhythm of doing these things. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if that was in some ways an acknowledgement that we might have rushed him up, even if we're going to hold with him in this point, because
that's an interesting question.
He needs the at bats, he needs the opportunities, but I think that inherently maybe comes back to that question of, should you have given him a little time in AAA, even without like the idea of service time manipulation or anything, just mm-hmm. so that you have that opportunity to play every day and work through some of these things and figure out some of this at a closer to major league level, because he is out here like just whiffing. Like his barrel rate is literally zero. And I know that that's not like, that's an advanced stat that maybe doesn't mean a lot to some people, but he's literally just not barreling things up. I mean, his approach is still one that I think is admirable, but there's a lot of things that he is learning and developing in, and that's the whole idea of him playing every day. And I do wonder if like it wouldn't have been better to give him an opportunity to start off at that level. And I understand what I'm saying now is in direct opposition with what I was saying earlier. I am holding that myself. But I mean, you looking at, and of course, being entirely results oriented isn't the way. And I think that's what you're talking about, is look at the process that you went through. But I think even with the process, you have not held steady to that. And that's in part because I understand the defensive substitutions really late as he's learning.
Yeah.
But the idea that you have him entirely out at times to put other guys in the outfield and to take those at bats feels like it's in some ways betraying the I guess, contract of sorts that you set up to start this thing.
Well, I don't think it's a bad argument to ask the question, or bad question to ask the question, should we have maybe put him in, you know, started him at AAA or Sugarland or whatever for the sake of, or AA, I should say, Corpus Christi, for the sake of his game, you know, not the service time?
Yeah.
But my point is, you came into this starting him in the big club with your eyes wide open, knowing what was coming. So it's almost like, it's not like an admission of guilt. It's almost like you're taking a step back at this point, because you do want to play him a lot in the big leagues with big league pitching. You understand, as I mentioned, what he is as a person and how he can handle these things. You might ask the question, maybe we should have gone the other way. But I almost feel like you're too far in now to all of a sudden. I think that would hurt his mental approach more than keeping him.
Sending him down?
And having him confident. Yeah.
Okay, so
And having his back. So
let's fully talk about this, right? Yeah. Like you have... Yeah. Him, you have Zach DiCenzo, you have these guys here, but he clearly isn't hitting well. Like, is this something where you're willing to just write it out and try and let him find it? Because you've already shown that you're willing to move some things around. And some of that, I imagine, is to get DiCenzo some opportunities. But you've played, who was it? Was it Dubon? Dubon was in center. Mm-hmm. But like, or no, Dubon was in right. Like, you've played, you know, a utility guy, and it's kind of interesting, and I guess probably to your your happiness that he has, you know, exhibited more of a utility role than Mauricio Dubon. But even he has come in and played in right field in a place where you're not playing either of the young guys that you said you were trying to give every day at bats to in that instance. It feels like that is in some ways an acknowledgement that there's still, like, you want to give him some space and some room and some development. Does it not seem like something that would be maybe beneficial to give him an opportunity to get, like, to jumpstart this, especially with you have no cover for him? Like, I feel like you probably saw this as a possibility of maybe he struggles, but you have other guys that you need to be able to produce. Those guys aren't doing it either, and I think that, again, shines a heavier light on the idea that Cam Smith does not seem like he's, like, the bat is fully ready, or at least it's not, you know, doing what you need to at this level right now.
Is the bat not fully ready, or is it just, you know, a matter of learning what he's looking at now, you know, the adjustment game, et cetera? I mean, that was, like, what he did yesterday, I mean, we kind of casually talked about it. That should not have been a triple.
No.
That was a double every day of the week.
That's the raw speed that shows up there. And so, obviously good base running. I don't want to take that away.
And hitting the pitch the way he did. And, you know, in that moment, he you know, he obviously showed exactly what he is. I just feel like you look, not necessarily look, I think your process of bringing him up should be questioned if you send him down right now. Again, maybe late May, June, whatever it is, and he continues to struggle, that's one thing. And I just looked it up. How many games has Cam Smith played? 11. First 11 games, Alex Bregman played 5 for 42. I mean, this is what happens when you have a, if you know what you have, you ride it out. If you know what you have, and I think they know what they have, because if you send him back now, down now, then the argument becomes, man, they only gave him 11 games.
All right, so, and I mean, it's worth also noting, 10 strikeouts early on, right? Like, that's also another part of this.
Alex Bregman, 12 strikeouts.
Sure, but...
You know, it happens.
You're also in a different... You're in a different place in your organization, but... do you really... Should you be looking at this from a perspective of making yourself right or wrong, or should you be looking at this from a perspective of what's best for the dude? And I want to ask you the question again from this perspective. What do you think from here is the best for Cam Smith in this moment to get him to... get him as soon as possible to his best level of play?
I think it's what's best right now. I really do. Like, you had to come into this with your eyes wide open. I can't reiterate enough. We talked about it. I know I said it. Like, he's going to struggle. It's going to happen. Well, it's happening.
Okay.
You know, but if you know what you have in Cam Smith, and I think they do, and you know the prospect that he is and what's in there and his approach, his mental capacity, his mental approach, and what he can handle and how he accepts adjustments and scouting and tips and everything else, then you write it out. I don't mind the question.
No, I hear you.
I don't mind the question. You know, was it a mistake? Maybe they're sitting there going, like I said, maybe we should have done that. But I don't think at this point you do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do think I was encouraged maybe less about the triple, but more about, did you see the defensive play that he made in the top of the first, right? Like the way that he came on nice to, I can't remember who hit that ball deep into right field, but came on nicely to it and, you know, made a good grab there. And we've seen some kind of iffy play in the corner there, obviously in the other corner. We've obviously seen some iffy play as well from Jose Altuve, but we've seen a little bit of iffy play, understandable for a dude who's just picking up outfield. But seeing that immediate, like, the point of growth and seeing, like, the benefit of the speed that he has out there in right field, I was encouraged by that, so that, all right, maybe the defense also is getting to a place where you feel better and you're getting closer to, like, an average level of play out there. But, I mean, I'm going to be watching this space, and it's going to be worth watching to make sure that not just, like, the results, but the actual process and, like, him being at the plate, being able to, like, not be an easy out in those instances, being able to make pitchers work, like that continues, because at some point, and I think you want to be very careful about this, you don't want to leave him up here if it feels like at any point that not the weight, like mentally, but like literally just the power that you're going up against with some of these really good pitchers, and some of the different instances of playing at the major league level, if that doesn't become overwhelming to his development. I think I'm with you that you stay the course for the time being, but I think you have to be very, very attuned to what's happening to Cam Smith. And I probably think that play the damn dude, man.
Well, like, here's the thing. He's not getting much help.
That's fair. You
know, that matters. I mean, Christian Walker has batted right ahead of him a couple of times, and Christian Walker isn't doing much or in the same neighborhood of where he is. You know, whether, you know, Jeremy Pena, Christian Walker, the three guys I mentioned earlier, sure, it would be nice to get some help around you, you know?
Yeah, and there's a number of people on the text line who seem to be with you. The idea of, you know, play him, like, it's fine. And then one of the things that the kind of refrains that keeps coming up is, well, the whole team isn't hitting. And I agree, mm-hmm. and I think that's not giving him cover, but I think you have to consider those things when you're making your decision, that, hey, can you afford this with the larger context of what's happening? But I think also for him, it's a level of individual difference here, which mm-hmm. is, hey, man, even if everybody else was hitting, if this is going to be an issue for him being at the major league level, then you probably need to do what's best for him.
Yeah. Look, nobody likes it.
No,
nobody likes it. All the guys that made the decision. But you've got, and it's not like remain calm, stay the course. No, you're watching it, but you're not doing anything too hastily.
And, of course, as we're talking about this, the Astros put out their lineup against Luis F. Castillo. That's what's happening. I forgot.
Oh, the other.
They got two Luis Castillos. I was pulling my hair out today wait, didn't Luis Castillo go yesterday? There's two of them. That's right. There's two of them. Altuve's DHing, which means Yordan is in left. He's batting third after Isak Paredes, as is expected. Caratini behind the plate today. And
all right, that's interesting.
Cam Smith in right field.
Mm-hmm. Batting eighth?
Batting ninth.
Ninth.
So in some ways, an acknowledgement. Yeah. In some ways, an acknowledgement of what we're talking about here. But get him in, at least let him play. That's my portion of it. Yeah. At the very point, let's live up to, you talked about, you made your decision, you went on this process. Live up to that. Let mm-hmm. the man get his at-bats, because that's the thing that would be a real problem. Like, obviously, I'm concerned that you're not seeing the fullness of, you know, what you were hoping for from his bat. But let him work through it, because I think it's even worse if you have him at the major league level and he's not out there mm-hmm. getting opportunities to swing the bat. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up in the next hour, keep it locked, because if you are a fan of Brian Regan, the comedian, we'll have an opportunity to win some tickets to a show for his in December. You definitely want to see that through. But coming up next, it's about the time where we get to our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. We will do that.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
These are my confessions.
All right, so we were just talking about Cam Smith, right?
That is correct.
If my memory holds from the last segment.
That is correct.
We were just talking about Cam Smith. And over the course of the segment, I realized something. He kind of needs to change his name.
What?
Why?
One of the favorites to win the Masters this week, starting tomorrow, is Cam Smith.
So?
Cam Smith is a more popular athlete than Cam Smith, the Astro.
How long do you think that takes to change?
A while. Cam Smith has won 2 majors, I believe.
I ask again, how long you think?
A while.
No, but here's the thing about
golf. A while. Really? Seriously?
And I say this more to speak to just how great Tiger is.
Yeah.
Like, ain't no Tiger, right? Like, where you ask your mama who's a golfer, and they go, oh, yeah, Tiger Woods. Like,
yeah.
If you're not indoctrinated into the golf, I would bet good money
millions
that you could ask just general sports fan who is not inherently a golf fan.
Mm-hmm.
Ask 10 of them. You get one or two that are like, oh yeah, Cam Smith, I know who that is, right? Mm-hmm. That ain't stopping baseball Cam Smith's show at all.
Yeah, I think it depends
on the circles you run in.
Hell, like
I'm deep into, obviously, baseball, but I am deep into golf, and there are a lot of people like me.
Yeah, but let's say
Cam, I think it's a lot more niche than you.
Let's say Cam Smith, the baseball player, let's say he have a good rookie year, win rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Do he overtake the golf player Cam Smith's name?
I, You guys are thinking it's a lock. I'm asking.
Or
at least Reggie does.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying immediately.
Asking the question.
I'm just asking, like, when does it happen? Because rookie of the year, I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to see what is the level of baseball success that he gets to.
What would make him start going by Cameron or Cammy or something?
I don't think anything's going to make him. I think he's going to be called Cam Smith because that's what he likes being called.
Yeah.
And I think that locker room's already.
And I think the other thing is, and this is way too early, but if you Google Cam Smith, which Cam Smith pops up?
That's a great point. Let's do that experiment here in a second.
It's a good week
because
to do
right
it.
Now it will probably be the golfer.
It is the golfer.
I'm going to actually use Google right now.
Yeah, it is the golfer.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And of course, my computer decides.
No, I'm
why?
Doing,
why
I'm
does
doing
that happen?
Right here.
Yeah.
Every time
Cam Smith first three stories are Cam Smith the golfer. The next two are Cam Smith the baseball player.
Now I know it could be tricky too because depending on what you search personally, you know.
No, that's true.
Because mine pulled up American baseball third baseman and then see results about Cameron Smith. So I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. Yeah, go ahead and text in. If you have the ability to do this on your own, I'm interested. Like, what do you think? Because, so I took this to, and I don't even know what to do with this because I took this to, like, private mode, right? Mm-hmm. So hopefully that takes in less. I know that there's still, like, cookies involved because we live in a surveillance state. And I'll show you, Lopez, what I got when I searched the words Cam Smith, nothing more. On the right
side.
You got
both.
On the right side, I am seeing third baseman. Yeah. Although now right fielder, Cam Smith.
Yeah.
And then on the left side, I'm seeing the top stories about Cam Smith, the golfer, because it is Masters week.
Right.
I do think if Cam Smith is that player we think he's going to be, like, really good, where to the point jerseys are flying off the shelves type of good, then I do think by that point, I think the baseball player Cam Smith.
Let's keep this in mind, too.
Just for the jersey aspect of it, too, and just because it's baseball.
Yeah, but let's keep this in mind, too. We're in Houston. We all know Cam Smith. America might be going Cam Smith golfer all day.
Right now, yes.
And I agree. I fully agree with that. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to see what is the breaking point for Cam Smith baseball player. And I was like, rookie of the year, I do wonder, because I think those national, those kind of, season awards, those could be a little niche at times as well, unless you're even MVP. Like, I wonder how many, like, just non, like, specific baseball fans remember that. But I do wonder if the Astros are in the playoffs, especially if they make it deep into the playoffs and you have that visibility with a rookie of the year, what have you, does that then maybe shift?
By the way, Cam Smith won the U.S. Open in 2022, runner-up to the Masters in 2020, third in 2022. He's a big-time golfer.
I'm not trying to say that he's not. Like, I like that you're trying to make this about the merit. I believe it.
My thing is, do you feel like golf is a bigger sport than baseball right now?
Not across the board, but golf is enormous. Like I said, they're having 11 hours of coverage of the Masters.
No, I agree with you. I'm not saying golf is small, little small thing.
Yeah.
But I think it comes down to the bigger sport and more visible person, which will probably be like a Cam Smith if he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting to a place where we're getting to multiple Americas. I don't know if it's specifically two.
They're all coming in too.
Because some people are like, never heard of Cam Smith. Someone's like, no, Cam Smith is worldwide because he's Australian and big overseas.
Yeah.
And then you've got someone else who's like, there are more Astros fans than there are PGA fans, period, which I think that you're not acknowledging how many golf fans there are.
No, right? I can tell them. You're wrong.
So I think
you're wrong.
You know, I mean, people hate the Astros.
Yes, you are incorrect.
Okay, and then how about this from the 210 to go on the other side? If Cam Smith, the golfer, wins the Masters, then there's no comparison. That's interesting. And then someone else brings up on the YouTube, what about Cam Smith, the Dolphins cornerback? A person who I just learned about. I knew about
via
Cam
Google.
But wow. Yeah, that's great. That's actually an interesting topic. And I don't know what the breaking point is, but I'm interested. And 281, I appreciate you doing the work. They said that they more stories about baseball from them. And then 281, listen to you guys every day. Had no idea who the golfer Cam Smith was. One, appreciate you listening. And two, thank you for adding it to the social experiment. Keep those coming. I'm interested to see. Like, let's see if we can crowdsource this to a point where we get an answer that somewhat is appealing. I don't think we're going to fully find this out.
No.
But it's a really interesting dynamic that I had not considered.
I can tell you it's millions more right now that know Cam Smith the golfer. Because he won the British Open is what I said. USO. He won the British Open. He's finished second in the Masters, third in the Masters in the last 4 years.
Rocks his mullet and everything.
Yeah, and also the baseball player just got in the MLB. So it's very, very early.
I was like, maybe he needs to change his name.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to change his name. Mama called him Cameron. Mama called him Cam. Someone said Hunter Renfro was in the very similar situation. Yeah, with mm-hmm. baseball Hunter Renfro mm-hmm. and then football Hunter Renfro. I don't know that. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I know for, yeah, it just depends on what circles you run in, I imagine. Because yeah. one of them, and that's crazy because Cam Smith, again, like international perspective, but I guess we're being American-centric in this point in yes. this situation. I feel like one of them would just have to hit one of these, one of the major touchstones that hits the American cultural zeitgeist, which I guess would be Cam Smith winning yeah. the Masters and having that run.
Now watch him win.
Or, yeah, maybe go ahead and put that and put a little bit of money
He's
on
He's been in the hunt
there.
For 4 years.
Or it's going to have to be Cam yeah. Smith, Astro, doing something major on that national stage.
Correct.
Or something like that. Interesting. Interestingly enough. Mm-hmm.
These are my confessions.
I didn't realize, speaking of baseball, I didn't see that coming. I didn't realize that the Rangers actually have the worst team average in baseball. Because they've been winning games.
They've been winning.
Right? They lost yesterday.
Last night, right?
They yeah. did lose yesterday to the Cubs. Shout out to Seiya Suzuki doing that. But so they have a good record, a better record than the Astros, but they're actually worse on batting average. Now, one of the things that's hurting the Astros have no slug. Like, just extra base hits aren't coming through. So I think the Rangers are somewhere like in the bottom third, but not all the way at the bottom like the mm-hmm. Astros in slug. But it made me happy to know, oh, they're not hitting well either. So
yeah,
like this
come back down to earth.
This could come back. Like their pitching has been really good, but whatever. But yeah, maybe this thing evens out to where, because one of the things, as I kind of alluded to at one point, I'm afraid of is I don't want this thing to look like last year where you get into such a hole mm-hmm. and now you're having to chase back, because I think the Rangers are better this year. But I also, if you look at the process of it rather than just the results of the records, I do think that they're a lot closer in stature. And so I felt better in that moment when I realized that the Astros are not far
off. Now I feel
off.
Better.
They're not super far off pace.
I noticed
think.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
These are my confessions.
You know, I'm going to keep my baseball, too. So, before the Astros game, I was watching another game. I was watching the Guardians and the White Sox. And talk about a snooze fest. This game was a snooze. Like, nobody was really hitting or scoring in this game. And I got to confess, I kind of liked the way this game ended. So, tell me if this is, I don't want to call it ironic. Mm-hmm. I'll let y'all decide. So, ninth in the bottom of the ninth. Mike Clevenger, mm-hmm. who used to pitch for the Guardians and end up getting traded because it was a wild situation that happened, I guess, during COVID and all this other stuff. So he got booed when he got to the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody, I think I forgot who it was, but it was an error where somebody got on base.
Mm-hmm.
This dude had three walks. Three walks and a walk-off walk win.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was so hilarious because he was getting booed. He looked like he lost a lot of steps, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This dude looked a little chunky, lost the long hair. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, this looked like the old hot high school chick. You see her 20 years later with five kids and mm-hmm. all fat. But
that was the high school reunion.
Yeah, exactly. Damn. It was just like a damn homie in high school. You was the man,
right?
Homie.
I'm not gonna lie though. Like baseball pitcher when it goes atrocious is one of the places in sports where I actually have the hardest time getting into my Schadenfreude bag
mm-hmm.
because you're just out there alone. Like, ain't nobody come and save you. Ain't no clock that's gonna come save you. And the best thing that can come save you. Is the most disgraceful thing is that manager coming to ask for that baseball. Like everything else, you just out there and you have to try and figure out a way to get
these outs.
Dying
on the vine.
Just there.
It's a very uncomfortable thing when people are struggling that much. By the way, did you see that minor league team that gave up 22 walks last night?
No.
22 walks, a minor league team. I don't have it in front of me, but I was reading it this morning in one game.
Damn.
That's why you're in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Who was it?
Jupiter,
Florida.
Who got a lift over Dunedin? And I didn't
Dunedin.
Know Dunedin. Is that how they say it? I'm sorry, I ain't never had that one in my bag, to be completely honest. So the Dunedin Blue Jays got a victory over.
I hope they did.
The Jupiter Hammerheads. Get this, 19-5 in a record-setting walk fest. No, you don't say. 22 walks.
22 walks.
Man,
they
that's
gave
crazy. Most in a full season minor league baseball game in MLB stat portal history. That is wild.
Mike Clevenger need to go there.
Yep.
He fit right in.
These are my confessions.
I get where the Dallas Mavericks are coming from on this. I totally get it. But I don't know if this is a confession or just whatever, a thought. There is no way that their tribute to Luka is going to work. It's going to
backfire. Are they trying to do it?
It's going to backfire. Now, you used to live there.
Correct.
There is going to be somehow, some way, this is going to be about the general manager. They're going to be throwing the... They got shirts on every seat, all right? And the shirts say, in Slovenian, thanks for everything.
Why are they doing this? Because they're trying to win back. That fan base is mad at the organization.
But do you agree?
For good reason.
No way this is going to work.
No, not whatsoever.
Zero.
Then people see through it. Like, they have had months and months and months of missteps, unforced errors by the organization. And them fans not hearing it, bro. Like, they just aren't. And then also,
talk about tone deaf.
On top of that, like, after they went and made that trade in the dead of night, they got out here slandering old boy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to make him feel good. You're not going to win with the fans. It's what you're kind of supposed to do, except you done already poisoned the water on the front end. Like, you're just, they're SOL. Now, to be fair to them, I don't know what you're supposed to do once you've gotten to this place.
Ignore it. Act like it didn't happen. Just get through it.
I think not this year. You can't do it this year.
No, I think let the fans applaud him. But don't put T-shirts on every chair.
Yes.
Don't do that. That's the mistake. You know, just say, hey.
What, so now you could be the organization that doesn't. Like, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Well, sure.
Yeah, no.
But this is going to be worse.
No. I think it's worse if you don't do anything.
No, I think it's better. You let the fans say, love you, man.
No.
Not your fault.
No. I think they should have just kept it simple.
Yeah.
Just the video tribute or something. Mm-hmm. Like, just keep it simple for this year. At least for this year.
They're going to bring Sharpies and write stuff on these shirts.
And let me be clear, ain't nothing they can do about this.
Yeah, no, this is
nothing's going to make it better.
Yeah.
But I think they should have just kept it simple, man. You don't need no T-shirts, man. It's people. Hell, LeBron James won a championship in Cleveland.
Yeah.
They ain't do no T-shirts. Like, nah, he ain't got to do all that, bro.
I'm with you.
All right. Real quick before we go, I guess I'll do this one. We was out last week that we were out? And you know, you have to pay and you sign the little thing.
Mm-hmm.
These like electronic signature things are the dumbest things now, because does anybody actually do their real signature on these things? You just do a little squiggle and hey, we off to the races. Like, at this point, it defeats the whole purpose of signing for things, doesn't it?
I've gotten on a big, speaking of, you know, it took me so long to get an iPhone. I'm all about the Apple Pay now, man. I'm boom, boom, boom. I'm firing that stuff everywhere, which you don't have to do that as often.
Yeah, I guess so. But even then, like,
click it and go.
If you're like at a bar, they still will have like, or if you're at a restaurant where they have the little systems that the waitress has and they flip and they're like, sign this or whatever. I'm like, if I was to dispute it, that's not really my signature. Like, they're not going to, this ain't going to do nothing.
No,
this is
you,
the
just
dumbest thing.
Scribble
you just kind of scribble.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't even pick up well enough. And I'm using my finger as opposed to like a pen. Like, it's not going to look
my
right.
My name looks like just like a line.
And I think half the time I do that is because I try to hurry up and get the waitress on about her business, because I want to sit there, try to write my neat handwriting.
You can't. It's like physically impossible.
Yeah.
And the worst part.
I try to hurry up so she could go on, because I know she got to do something else.
Yeah.
Last thing I'm about to do is like clear and try and do it again.
Oh,
that first
God,
attempt
no.
is what it is, whatever it looks like. So there you go. All right. Those are our lunchtime confessions here in the Lou, brought to you by the Men's Clinic. On the text line from the 832, Cam Smith, regarding Cam Smith, rather, Willie Mays had a miserable start, 1-for-26 to a Hall of Fame career. Not saying that Cam Smith is Willie Mays, but neither was Mays at the very beginning. I mean, a fair point.
Early.
It's a fair point.
It's early.
Thank
it is. It is. All right. Where's my bell, damn it? All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. All right. We're there. The Rockets technically don't have anything to play for, but they've got three more games against some good teams. So how should the Rockets approach this? Yes, we're doing a rest versus rust conversation. Let's have it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope your Wednesday has been going really good. We're very close to the 1 o'clock hour where a couple of things are going to happen. One, we're going to give away some tickets to see Brian Regan later in the year. So we'll give away the tickets in the 1 o'clock hour. The tickets will be to see Brian Regan later in the year. There we go. I think that's clear enough. We'll do that. And then also at 1 o'clock, we'll talk to our guy John Harris.
Excited about that.
Excited to talk to him about some...
Working a jugs machine?
Yeah, that part.
Absolutely. In fact, we've got to ask him about that. I don't think I actually will ask him about that. But we'll ask him about some Texans draft things, as we're just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, or the first round at the very least. But the Houston Rockets, number two seed, locked down yesterday, courtesy of the Oklahoma City Thunder getting a victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. Ref aided, sure, but it doesn't matter. Still a victory. And so, you know, you're locked into the two seed now, and there's really not any more moving for the Rockets to have. And that made me think about this with a couple of games, or sorry, three games remaining, including one tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. I believe that's in L.A., isn't it? That's in the Intuit Dome?
Yeah, they got two in L.A., then come back for...
that's right, and the final game is here.
Nuggets. It made me think about it, too, and I know where you're going.
How do you approach these final three games of the regular season, right? These are good teams that you're facing off against. These are all playoff-caliber teams. But you have a lot of your health and you have nothing to play for and you have an opportunity to try and do something special. Like, how do you go about this, Lopez?
You play them. I don't think you blink. I think you play everybody almost, not full. Like, you know, if they go to overtime or, you know, somebody gets into 38 minutes or something like that, you know, you start measuring a little bit. But I think you go full bore. And the biggest reason...
Full bore.
Full bore.
Okay.
Full bore, full compliment. Everybody go. And there's a couple of reasons for it. I think foremost, you're going to get your rest. The reason that you would, you know, the argument that you teased, rest versus rust. I'm not worried about rest. You're going to get rest. You had 2 days off. You know, before this game, it's been 2 days off since you last played. Then you're going to have, at the end of the year, you're going to have play-in games.
Which you will not be playing in. You'll be able to watch and more obviously rest. Get a little bit of rest there.
More rest. So that's the first reason. The bigger reason to me is you go full bore with the Rockets the rest of the way is I'm not going to use the M word, you know, momentum.
Thank you.
Momentum.
Boo.
But you are clicking and you've got things figured out right now. And you are you're on a 15-2 run over the last
sound
seven.
Like momentum to me.
Oh, yeah, wink, wink, figure just between you and me, it's momentum. But I didn't want to get him all riled up. So everybody listening, Figgy, it's momentum is what we're talking about. But it also is like you're in a groove. You know, you're clicking. You've got the second best offense in the entire NBA and the fourth best defense in the entire NBA, or I might have that backwards, second best defense and fourth best offense over the course of those 17 games. And you're figuring things out. I mean, Ime Udoka has been repeatedly talking about this. Like, you know, physicality is up, or comprehension, intensity is up. Why change that?
Well, I mean, because sometimes maintaining that for an extended stretch can be difficult. And I do wonder if that's something that pops up. I think also in the favor of your case is these are teams that you're going to have an opportunity to play and give them, I mean, depending on who they play, because also... Mm-hmm. You look at it, and there's teams that are still playing for things. These are actually all teams that are playing. These are the three teams beneath you. You're playing the Lakers on, what is that, Friday?
Yes.
And then, obviously, you have the Clippers today. They're currently sitting in the four. They're a game back from L.A. And then the Nuggets, they have the same record as the Clippers. You'll play them on Sunday on the return trip to Houston. And so, yeah, all these teams that you imagine are playing for something.
Mm-hmm.
But for one, like... Injuries happen, right? And I hate to put, you know, knock on wood and put that out there, but you would hate to lose somebody of importance in this period of time. That is one thing. And then I think also on top of that is like I was saying, like that level of intensity that you want to maintain. I think that, yes, you're young and you go, hey, we'll just kind of play through it. And then you'll take that week to kind of regather. But I think that it is fair to say at what point is it tough to kind of maintain that intensity, and does that possibly drop off, especially once you get into the rigors
of
playoff basketball?
So are you going
the other
way? You going the other way?
Not fully. I don't think you go to the place. You do have the like roster to do it though.
Mm-hmm.
You have the stay ready crew, stay ready all-stars or whatever that you have, that when they play, they can compete at a high level too. The Jay Sean Tates, the Jeff Greens, right? Like the Aaron Holidays, that if they have an opportunity to play, they play at a very high level. But I do think that you probably need to keep a certain level of continuity. I do think, though, however, it might be worth getting a little deeper in your roster and maybe kind of lightening up the load on your guys so nobody is really dipping beyond, you know, 30-something minutes, right? Maybe ever keep
that's
everybody...
That's what I'm saying. If you start getting into 37s and 38s, you know, that's where you maybe draw the line. But, I mean, the other thing that Ime has been talking about is he's given them more... He's starting to treat practices and meetings... and whatever as playoff, he says I'm throwing a lot more at them.
And that's fair.
With that in mind, and so here you go with Clippers, Lakers, Nuggets, teams that are going to be in the playoffs. So you're throwing more at them. They're getting into the reps, for lack of a better way, of a playoff thing, and they've never been in the playoffs before.
No.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if this is going to fully simulate that playoff aspect. But
no.
I do appreciate the aspect of just keep a certain level of continuity. Like if you're trying to keep, or if you've been trying to throw a playoff like atmosphere to try and get these guys who have not been there, who, I mean, outside of Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet, when you talk about the guys who are going to play consistently, outside of those guys, they have not been there. To give them some feel of it, I get it. And so I would understand just seeing that all the way through with that feeling. And yes, fair enough. This is another aspect that you could put in the column for keep it going like nothing changed. They want to 8-2, just want to beat the Lakers because their fans talk way too much. All right, fair enough. That's absolutely fair.
You can they talk to fans.
You can always scoreboard them as well, though, but yeah. I understand that aspect of it. The last thing I want, though, especially for this team that has so much of a lean upon each other aspect of it, is to have one of the cogs, even like a small injury, like not like a major one that takes someone out, but like a turned ankle that nags or something like that. That's the last thing that I would want. You know what I mean?
I get it. And you know what I'm going to say? I never like to play scared like that.
Fair enough.
It's just not what you should do.
I'll be the scaredy cat in this instance. I understand it.
In my
I get
view,
it.
You know, never play scared. But the other thing is, as much as it's an 82 game schedule, you know, and all that, they're really just kind of defining their roles better now. You know, they're all sort of fitting into Jalen Green, you know, obviously Şengün. We talked about Amen Thompson. You know, maybe he's even a defensive player of the year guy. Those roles have been sort of out there and formulating and forming all year long. I feel like they're in them now, you know?
Can I give you just like the one kind of additional kind of thing I had in my pocket on the idea of maybe not ramping down but ramping back a little bit? I would love to see some more Reed Shepherd minutes. In these last few games.
Yeah.
Like, when you gave him a little bit of minutes, he went off for 15 points. In that, this was supposed to be a year in which you saw Reed Shepherd flourish and you saw, like, some development. And that's been limited for no other real reason than there just haven't been a lot of minutes and an ability to work him in with what you have going.
And he did start slow.
He did start slow, to be 100% to fair. But I think also some of that was he did not have the greatest opportunity to fit well with what you were doing because – you know, you have to play him next to Fred VanVleet, or you didn't really have a good, or he'd have to be on ball and have a lot of responsibility, probably above what you want for him at this early stage. I would kind of just love to see some more opportunities for him to develop and get more minutes in a place where it seems like you could afford them. But I think a lot of people are in the place that you are. Like, go ahead and keep this business as usual. Continue to get yourself prepared for the playoffs. I don't think that's a bad decision in this way. I think I'm just being a scaredy cat, which is fair. It's fair if you want to call me that.
No, I think it's a strong argument for teams that are maybe a little older, a little more established and know what they are. Like, if you're the Lakers, you might, even though they're kind of thrown together here, you know, in the second half of the season with Luka and all that, they all know what they're doing. They all know how to dial it up. They all know, they know how to scout most of the teams they're going to face. You know, they know what to expect.
Ooh, I do wonder how much, because this
the Lakers is an interesting one.
But not even just the Lakers, but I think when you mentioned the scout, I wonder how much they, you know, the entire organization, the coaching staff goes into kind of playoff mode, because they haven't had a ton of experience doing that. If they don't just throw entirely themselves into the feeling of...
Well, they got to scout five different teams.
This is how we do it.
Did you see the standings this morning?
Yes, I was looking at them. That glut right there below.
Four teams are 47-32.
Correct. In that same space.
And the other one, the fifth one, is 46-33.
We still have no idea the teams that are even going to be playing for the opportunity to play you in that first round. Definitely that feeling. And yes, I feel you, 8-3-2. They just need to practice free throws all day. Yeah, they definitely do need to try and tweak those things. I imagine that's in that week off, getting an opportunity to just kind of get yourself in that space. But I don't think... As much as you want to keep that playoff intensity, I think that's fair. I don't think anything prepares you for that. That first round is what will be really interesting. And the Rockets, I think they've prepared themselves well for it. I'm super excited to get to that place. And we're 2 weeks away, I think, from getting that going here. Actually, a week away, I believe, because I think the play-in game happens on the 15th. Yeah, I guess, in a way, a couple weeks from NBA playoff basketball. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's hit the phone line. and talk to our guy. He's the sideline reporter for the Texans. You hear him on Texans All Access, and he is knee deep. Actually, he might be chest, neck deep. he might be eyeball deep in NBA and NFL draft stuff. His name is John Harrison. We talk to him next.